actually going to come back after all?
When?
A hiatus.
I don't know if I'll come back full stop.
Okay.
I might stay up in Scotland.
Please do.
Good. Fuck you.
You ready?
Yeah.
This podcast may contain questionable language, will contain spoilers, and is going on hiatus, possibly to never return.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 267 of Movie Drone. I'm a bit achy, Steve.
I'm a bit jakey, Mark.
Doesn't make no sense.
Don't you get up in the morning and stretch? Go, oh, I'm a bit achy, jakey this morning. Nope, just me then. Cool. Yeah,
well, I'm an adult. You said about the hiatus thing. Now, I heard something this week, and it was a little bit disturbing, a little bit of a weird thing. So, you had a guest spot on something. Mm-hmm. And I got invited, like the middleman, because obviously he was using the email account, weren't you? The Movie Drone one. So all of the audio from said guest spot got sent to me as well. Right. So I had a little bit of a listen. Really quite weird. Do you know what I mean? Like just listening to you silent and then speaking.
Yeah.
And I heard you say some very complimentary things about how you'd miss me and how you like seeing me and that. So. Sure that I could. I'm sure that was when you were just talking.
Yes.
Not on the podcast. I'm not sure I could deprive you of my joyous person in person. But we'll see.
So we are coming back then.
Well, I don't know. I'll just come round here and watch a film every once in a while. Well, it only matters, does it? As long as you get to see me
once a year.
I'm sure it's fine. Oh dear, have you been?
I've been all right, mate. I got a fence done.
What?
Got a fence done, so that's a good job done, isn't it?
I mean, it's a job. Yep.
Yeah, I broke myself doing it though. I was like 4 days. I was still out there at 9:30 one night having a burn up. Got oh, look, I've even got a Keith Lemon impression.
Oh my god! Oh no, that's disgusting.
It's not stinking yet, mate.
You can't have bandages and that on there. Nowadays, there's like nice sort.
No, you look like things, an support absolute things. Retard with them, mate.
Well, no, I don't mean like the horrible things that you have when you...
Flesh colour.
Like a proper, like a proper sportsman one.
No,
like
I can put this in the wash.
That's
I said I'm waiting until it's like Friday before it's stinky
it's
then.
It's disgusting.
I hurt myself, so I'm waiting for a stinky hand. I've spent a lot of time up hospitals. That's been fun. NHS, mate, is fucked.
I'm sure it wasn't.
There was people laying in corridors... Hooked up to drips that just couldn't get beds.
What?
I was there from 10 past 10 one night, and I left the hospital 5:45 in the morning.
What did you go there for?
Cass is having some issues,
what?
Some breathing issues. So got there. So we was there in that time. We got triaged, had a blood test, and that was it.
I thought you was going to say you went up there for your hand, and I was going to say that's the fucking reason.
No.
Why no one can get seen because she. You know, people go up there for like when they've got fucking colds and that. That's why it's like it, because people are dumb.
I know, but there's people in corridors. You see the nurses, mate, they looked fucked, like walking zombies they were. People sitting in corridors, drips on them, can't get a poor fella next to me, couldn't get a bed. It was, it's horrific. And I've been up another one for a few hours and they go, you need to get doctor's support as well. No, been trying for the last 2 weeks, you pricks. Can't get one, can you?
We need to have a cull.
Yeah, it's just they are overwhelmed, I'm going to say.
Who would we cull? Podcasters? Get rid of all them.
I like the Thanos.
Celebrity podcasters, get rid of them.
Yeah, I like the Thanos thing.
Do you?
50% random people.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll take my chances.
Fair enough.
Flip of a coin, isn't it?
That would help, wouldn't it?
But yeah, that was pretty horrendous. Other than that, mate, I got a new tree. Excited about my new tree.
It got in the way. I had to walk around it. Yeah, I hate it.
Trying to put some life back in the garden. You see, we've made it a bit homogenous where we've been doing all this work. So I'm starting on my aviary soon. I've got all the gear for that.
You still got that budgie, or is that dead?
Yeah, it's still in there.
Oh, is it?
Still in there squawking away. So starting on the little aviary.
You ain't said nothing about the budgie. You ain't mentioned the budgie. You gone off the budgie?
No, it's lovely.
You don't mention the budgie at all.
Because you didn't give less of a fuck the first time I mentioned it.
Well, because you killed the first one.
Yeah,
you know, well, if you're just going to get him and kill him, I don't like it.
Well, this one's in there. Oh, it jumps around. It does like, it's like a helicopter and it flies around the lounge. You're past your head. Squawks at you.
Oh, you let air in it?
Well, you can't just leave a bird in. This is the thing, see, I look at it in a cage and I think there ain't no life for a bird.
There's shit everywhere in it, on yours.
No, goes in and has a shit.
No, it fucking doesn't. It shits where it wants. You just ain't found it yet. If there's a place it shits.
It don't stay out. It sort of flies around a little bit, then goes back in for some food. And comes back out, but...
Shits again and goes back in.
I'm just trying to sort out for all the gear on it now, so I've got all the stuff. Just got to dig a load of holes. I've got to rat-proof it, haven't I? And not dig some foundations.
You're going to have so many dramas with this thing, mate.
Nah, it'll be fucking, right.
Honestly.
No, it's fine, mate. It's going to be good. So I'm going to make that. That's my sort of summer project, if that ever turns up.
Do you know what? I think if we didn't come back on the podcast, we'd definitely have to come back when that Avery fucking goes up. There's going to be dramas there. No. There's going to be dead birds everywhere, all sorts of things.
I mean, I can't guarantee the birds won't die, but the Avery would be fine. I can screw a bit of wood together. but yeah, we're just trying to get the garden done. So we had trees turn out left, right and centre. Spent far too much money the last couple of weeks on trees. I got a bit excited. She had to march me out of the place. And then I went back and ordered another one to sneak on the delivery. Because, you know, I thought I'll sneak in there.
That's like me and my Timu.
What I did, mate, I was like, I went, I got your present turn up tomorrow. Ooh, yeah, got you something. So I've done it as a present.
That sounds like my Timu as well. Yeah. I always get Jill something when I order a load of Timu just to soften the blow of it turning up.
That's pretty much what
I did. Just in case I'm not in when it comes.
So I've got delivery coming Tuesday, quite a big one, quite a few trees. Can I chuck something else on it? Of course you can, lovely. So on it went.
Oh dear.
But how's your week been, mate? Training going all right?
It's not so bad.
Yeah.
I've got four more runs, I think, till the big day. Big day's next Sunday.
When's
the
knee twist coming?
No, listen, I'm trying to, I'm adding risk into, unnecessary risk into my daily routine. So I ran out of some, I take supplements and that, and I ran out. I couldn't get the ones I normally get, so I bought some on eBay. So that added
that's going to be good, isn't it?
That added a unnecessary risk. And then at work...
They come from Chaozen or something?
There was some from Poland.
Right, that's probably all right.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got the same sort of level of testing
HTC.
That we're... And then I have started driving MHE at work, so I've added that risk in, so I could easily come off one of them or hurt myself there. Yeah. So, you know, just playing with fire at the moment. But I just want to thank all the sponsors. You know, we've had some sponsors from the podcast, Paul and Luke and you, loads of friend, family. I've had people from work. Some woman today, lovely woman, gave me £100.
Jesus.
Yeah, and another friend gave me £100. And then companies at work have been giving me £100, someone anonymously. We're up to over £1,500 now, mate, for the animals.
That's good, so, isn't it? That should keep them going for a little while.
Yeah, you saw the photos, didn't you?
I did. Lovely. Yeah. I saw a little hazel dormouse all sort of...
It was a squirrel.
Was that a squirrel?
Yeah.
Was it?
A couple of day old squirrel, yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. Grey one?
Yeah. Those little fox. Not allowed to release them. But,
no. And what they do with that then?
They escape. But,
okay. That's what they say. They put them outside, and if they get out, that's beyond there. Gotcha. All understood, mate.
No, I don't know. They probably do them in. No, I'm sure they stay there and that. Yeah. They got Avery's and that, but the little foxes I get to feed. They were a few days old, didn't have their eyes open.
A couple of them.
So that was lovely. That
good
was lovely
to see someone doing some good, isn't it, with all this shit going on.
Yeah, yeah. So I just want to thank everybody for sponsorship, no matter whether it was a pound or whether it was whatever. It was absolutely fantastic. Jill's been great. She's been picking stuff up. So I'm all ready to go. And
got
I'm
your
quite
vest.
Excited. I have, yeah.
Yeah, you tried it on?
Yeah,
strutted around in it.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it's quite flimsy, you know what I mean? But, you know, if you got it flaunt it.
What are you doing with your nipples?
I've either got runner's rub.
Right.
Or I've got nip guards.
Have you?
So, yeah. Okay. And just, but there you go. But Jill's doing a half marathon on Sunday, so let's just wish her
good done,
luck
Jill.
For that. She's,
thanks for not doing it like fundraising, so I had to sponsor both of you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. It's once in a blue moon, mate, isn't it? Once in a blue moon.
No, so. Fair play, mate. I think
that's good.
It's nice to see.
Yeah, so four more runs, so that's good. And then I've got a bit of time off and I for a holiday.
Mm.
So, I'm off for a few days, got the marathon and I'm in work for a few days and then I'm off for 17 days. I'm off to Scotland to do the North Coast 500 in a camper.
I mean, you say 17 days. How long did you last time?
What, with COVID, the COVID one? I think we managed to get like 3 days. Yeah, I had to drive home for 14 hours because they didn't have no hotels open. Yeah, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen no more because no one gets a fuck, do they, about COVID and that. Oh, yeah, so as long as I make it to the North Coast, then that would be good.
I wish you both a lovely trip.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much,
and
mate.
Huge luck in the marathon. I assume this, when's the marathon? A couple of weeks?
Sunday the 21st.
So, yeah, okay. So this will be out before then. So. Yeah,
I've got if you get the app, I can give you my bib number. Okay. And then you can track me.
Probably not. I'll be honest, Sunday, and I'll be busy.
Just have it on the background anyway.
I'll keep a track on you, mate.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I hope it goes all right. And anyone who's like listening before that, to make sure and tweet him on his personal page. He loves stuff like that. Wish him well.
Thank you very much, Mark. So, mate, got any thanks?
Yes, mate. I've got thanks to Louis Rames, Soundtrack Your Life, Right Stuff Reviews, Keith Noakes, Miles, Mike and Oscar, Watch If You Can, Talk Nerdy To Me, Dan Bradley and Sean Panda Nicholson.
Thank you very much, everyone, for the retweets on the old Xeroony. I've got special thanks this week to Jill Cassie, Jamie Russell, Emirate Movies, LJ Human, Ian McIntyre, Mr. Positivity and Eric, Kareem Helliwell, Ben and Paul from Filmbusters, Peter from Movie Duel Podcast, Ryan and Glyn. And again, thank you to everybody who's done everything for me for the marathon. Promo, mate.
Cinema Recall is available everywhere you find great podcasts.
The hell was that?
It's our voice promo guy.
Follow them on Facebook and Instagram under Cinema Recall Podcast and on Twitter at @cinema_recall.
Vern, can we afford to have a voiceover guy?
We can't afford not to. He used to be a voice guy for movie trailers, but now he just follows me around and gives me movie trailer narration.
That's really sad.
What? Now we're giving him purpose in life. He now has a reason to go on.
Check out past episodes at cinemarecall.net. Promise it's fun!
That's our friend's Cinema Recall. Vern gets around, doesn't he?
Mm.
So he's due to be on an episode with someone doing Titan, I think. Titan, is that what he was?
Yep.
And, Foxy Brown, they're having someone on the Patreon for. And Psycho Sex Dolls, they did, which sounds good.
Mm.
Some good films there. Psycho Sex Doll sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, it probably isn't. So he's getting around a bit.
He is. Like Frank. Frank, I forgot to mention Frank. Frank the Fat Pigeon. Right, now, I put some grass seed down, and I've got some bits. Yeah, fucker, mate. I'm chasing him out of the garden about 20 times a day.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting everywhere.
Is he?
Yeah. He's pissing me off. I have to keep running out, clapping my hand. He's not reacting to the dog bark anymore.
You look like a scarecrow anyway.
Yeah, so. Well, I just opened the door and he used to fly off. Now he's don't give a fuck about that. Then I started to cat one. Didn't like that, so he was off. Nah, he don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they learn. You know, animals are quite clever.
It'll only learn so much, mate, before it ends up on a barbecue. Because that's eating my seed.
Right. I don't know what that's got to do with Cinema Recall.
Nothing. Just said it's getting around a bit. And I was looking through the gap in the window and trying to see on the fence if Frank was there. Getting a bit distracted. I saw something move and I thought that bastard's back.
I went into the car park. I went to CEX the other day because we wanted to get a few DVDs for our camper van holiday. I got the complete series one of Columbo.
Right. Blinding. Nice, yeah.
And there was a bloke driving around the car park with his window open with a pigeon on his shoulder.
Frank.
What do you reckon? Because we had the conversation. Jill said, oh, he's got a pet pigeon. And when do you think it's a pet? She went, oh, do you think it's just flown in and landed on his shoulder? I went, well, we won't know, will we? Unless we ask him, but we didn't bother. So weird, wasn't
it? Risk, isn't it?
How surreal is that?
Imagine having a pet pigeon and it just like flying off down the high street. Yeah. How do you know what one it is? Frank.
We want to come back. Probably the one who comes back.
They'll all come back for a bit of grain, won't they?
So there we go. Please listen to our lovely friend Cinema Recall and The Vern and many different podcasts. Mm. Go on then.
Welcome to the Mark Reads Some Film Lines in Some Similar Voices and Steve Has to Guess the Film from the Lines Read to Get Points game. # What's That Film?
Well, if it is the last one, we're going out of a bang, aren't we? So I'll edit that pause out. No worries, mate. So what's that film? Who got what and what was it?
It was Pirates of the Caribbean.
It was?
Yeah. Let Dan got a 2.
Right.
Ryan got a 5. Kareem got a one, mate. Not a lot of bites this week. I think it might have been a bit hard, but there's another one. I don't know if you want to do that one.
Jill got five.
She got a five. She's back
in the five club.
Bitches.
I didn't realise that it sort of meant anything to her. You know what I mean? But like, she did point out the fact she was going, Jill's got one, because of what we said. So it was obviously great on her.
Right.
So, yeah.
So she's back in the game.
What I should have done is not mention what she got at all, just to see if that pissed her off. Might edit out just as if she doesn't exist in what's that film. Maybe if we got a few more people who played, I would have done. But
you have got 17 days in a motorhome with a mate. I'd play safe if I was you. They were in a room to escape to.
Yeah, I can see some stressful moments coming up in the next couple of weeks. Maybe I will. So, mate, what you got this week?
So 5 points, mate. What's that film? No, I just like to read the TV guide. Read the TV guide? You don't need a TV.
I mean, I do actually recognise it, but I'm not going to be able to guess it from that, I don't think, mate.
4 points. What's the film? It was all going to be so perfect, Lucy. Like just one big happy family. Your boys and my boys. No.
Well, it's a good guess.
Not really.
Yeah.
3 points. What's the film? It's too late. Your blood is in my veins.
Throw me off a bit, mate, that is.
Has it?
Yeah, it has. I don't know.
No?
No.
2 points. What's that film? Second shelf is mine. That's where I keep my root beers and my double thick Oreo cookies. Nobody touches a second shelf but me.
I think I should know it. Oh, here we go.
No, I mean, it's a big enough film. I don't know whether your affinity with it is as big as mine.
Obviously not. Clearly not. No, I don't know.
No, 1 point. Yeah. What's that film? My own brother, a damn blood-sucking vampire. You wait till Mum finds out, buddy. Hey!
Oh, dear. There we go. Right. I mean, yeah, don't really like it.
No, you don't?
Not really.
Okay.
No, not really. But there you go. So if you know what that is, please let us know what you think it is and how many you think you got via DM only, please. Moving on?
Yeah.
This is
Mark Mailsack.
Well, it turns out people don't really like quickfire fucking thingy, innit? You know what I mean?
Had a few coming like a wave.
Yeah, had a few people. Stop that shit. We're going to give you a question.
Fuck you ever, isn't it? I thought it was good last
week. I enjoyed it. But so, mate, if you want to join in this vendetta against us doing quickfired questions, where can people send them, mate?
Well, they can send them via the old X-A-Rooney, which is @movie_drone, or via email on moviedronepodcast@hotmail.com, and we might answer them.
There's going to be this moment where you get to see whether people have read messages. I was just going to go dead. don't ask for red receipts on your emails. You know what I mean? Because like, you might be disappointed. So, mate, moving on again.
Yeah.
This is the next section. This is a section we love to call
Question Time.
Question Time. Question Time. Time for the question. Question Time.
Question Time. Question Time. Time for the question. Question Time.
There we go.
I listened to one of our old episodes the other day.
All right.
I can't even think what film it was I wanted to know about, and I was like, I can't remember what I thought of that. And it was where we was in Corona, and you was like, question time, question time. And we couldn't quite match it up, maybe. Right. Enough.
Is it?
The halcyon days of Corona.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
It was lovely, wasn't it? You can actually hear the weirdness in our voice. Right. Where we're all struggling to get around what's happening.
I enjoyed it, apart from the fact that I worked in food and I had to go to work every day. It was shit, but there you go. And obviously the coronavirus.
Other than that, it was all right.
Yeah. So, mate, someone did send a question in. Yeah. Who's it from and what's it about?
It's from LJ Human, mate, and he says, I know you pride yourselves on being a particularly academic and cerebral podcast, so hopefully here's a suitable question. What are your 5 favourite films based on novels or books you would like to be made into films that haven't been done yet?
There we go. I've been reading a bit more, you know, a little bit
good
more.
For you.
Well, not recently. Yeah. I've been looking at Facebook and that a bit more recently. Oh. But yeah, I was reading for a little while, so that's good, isn't it? That's good. But I've got a few.
Yeah.
What you got?
So my number five, mate, I've got The Running Man.
Right.
Right. Now, I've got this because it's nothing like the book, really. There's a lot of differences. And I only really wanted to bring this one up and mention it because it's been mooted around that we're getting a remake.
Right.
A remake, but it's going to be more like the book. And that one get behind because it's not a direct remake. They're going to try and stick more to the theme of the book of Stephen King's writing.
Right. You know what? I haven't read none of these. So I wouldn't have a clue whether they're any good or not. I've not read any. And I don't really intend to, if I'm honest. So my number five, is it? Is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Because I'd never read that book. But they were good films.
Okay, so it brought the Tolkien story to you that you would never actually
have. Oh, I never read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a good way of doing it, isn't it? Because there are people missing out on that.
Yeah.
And actually, if you can sit through a film.
There is a book, there is a series of fantasy books that I've got at home and I've had since I was young and I still kept and I really want to read. It's the Shannara series, Sword of Shannara and Elfstone of Shannara and stuff. And I really want to read them. So I just got to try and find some sort of imagination from somewhere.
Yeah, see, what I want to do is I want to try and find out some films that are going to be made based on books and read the books first. Because
right.
I've got a habit of reading the books from films. And you've always got that thing in your imagination, what people look like. I can't imagine what I'd think, like, if I like Lord of the Rings and dragons and shit like that, when people who read the Lord of the Rings and then the film adaptation come out, whether they even got close in their imaginations.
I'm going to say probably because of the IMDb scores and that, I'd say that it did do a good job.
Oh, okay. My number four, mate, To Kill a Mockingbird. Something funny about that? I think it's a huge moral leader with a really important message that's still relevant today. I think it's great that kids do it and read about it.
I've read that at school.
It's a great book.
I had to read that.
It's a great film. Don't touch it. Don't redo it. I think you learn a lot from that. It's a good story.
There we go. My number four, is it? Into the Wild.
Yep.
I think it took a bit of liberty, but I don't really mind. I like the film.
I've read both books that are written about it. One's written from his sister's point of view.
Right. Can I just make a point?
Mm.
I don't care whether they're close to the book. Or anything.
Okay.
Just to let you know, right. You know, regardless of like, I couldn't care fucking less, but I just like the films.
Okay, let's leave that one there then, okay? Cheers for that. Number three for me, mate, The Green Mile. Great book, great film.
Okay.
Win-win.
Like the others?
Yeah, good. Book was good.
Okay.
Yeah, enjoyed it a lot. Yeah,
good. My number three, is it?
Mm.
Is Lawless.
Okay. Forced.
Yeah, I that film like that, I don't think I'd want to read the book because I think, you know, I think the film, so I'd good. Really love the film.
It's great.
And like, you know, I don't want to see any reason to ruin it.
No, with you, mate, with you. So here's one that I would like made, mate, and it would be based on the immortal life of Henrietta Lacks. Now, we had a making of one with Oprah Winfrey a few years back, but I want to see a big budget thing of this.
Right.
I think it deserves it. I think it's worthy of something special.
Right.
In the likes, guys, of what was the one with the ladies who did all the maths for NASA, Hidden Figures, something like that. Henrietta Lacks, huge hidden figure, really, still as much in the world today as ever. Don't know if you know who she is.
No.
She was a black lady back years and years ago, and she had a form of cancer, and her cancer was the first one that would grow in a culture, and her cells are called healer cells and they still use them in all, so she's technically, there's more of her alive today than there's ever been when she was alive because all of her cells are still around the world as healer cells, still testing on all that cancer research, healer cells.
Okay.
Massive lady. Just
not, she was a massive lady or?
No, she was quite a slim lady actually, but she should be massive. She should be up there with the likes of Rosa Parks and stuff. I know it's a bit bad what happened to her, but you read the treatment of her and why it became, it's pretty embarrassing. But I think the story needs to be told properly.
Nice.
Tell us.
Okay. My number, what is it?
Two.
Shutter Island.
Yep. Great book.
Great film.
Great film.
Better film.
Oh, again, I read it after watching the film. This is a bit that's annoying me. I wish I'd read it before.
Again, don't care. Carry on.
Okay. My number one, mate. One I can't believe's not been made. And someone might hear and go, oh, I think you found it actually in 1974. Someone did do it. But I'm thinking of the likes of, what's the old one with old Jibby, like in the wheelchair? You know, hello, I'm American. I'm a scientist. That bloke, Stephen Hawking. What was it called? What was the film?
The Theory of Everything.
Theory of Everything. Yeah. On the guys or something like that. These sciencey ones. And then we had the Imitation Game, didn't we? Now, I think we need a film based on... I mean, I've put The Origin of Species in there. But, I mean, pretty dull book. Took me a long time to get through that. Lot of talk about pigeons and finches. It took me a long time. But I want a Life and Times sort of based off of that, of Charles Darwin slash Alfred Russel Wallace, the Forgotten Man of Evolution. I think a biopic with them and how it all came about. We've had all this other stuff. I think there's enough in there. I want to know. I want a big costume film, £1 million budget, millions and millions. Charles Darwin. He's one of the most important scientists ever lived, mate.
I mean, I've got to be honest. Even the description of it's nearly making me go to sleep.
You've got Charles Darwin, right? And you've got Alfred Russel Wallace. Now, Charles Darwin's a man with the money. He's in Downhouse. He's got the money. Alfred Russel Wallace working.
Please stop. Fucking hell.
I'll watch it.
I'm good. Why don't you make it? Wait till AI comes out and do your own film.
Oh, I could do,
sit
couldn't
in your
I?
Own room and fall asleep.
It's good enough for a £20 note. Ain't
my number one, Stand By Me.
It's all right, the book.
I don't care. The film,
it's actually
the film,
based on a novella called The Body.
I know that. Yeah. But the film itself, it was basically described like my childhood. You know what I mean? That was a great episode. I loved doing that.
It was fun.
We had a bit of a little bit of emotion behind that.
Yeah.
I've got some others. I've got some that I would turn into a film. I've got some others that I like the films of. I've got Last King of Scotland, No Country for Old Men, Gone Baby Gone, The Town and The Mist. And I thought it was a separate part of the question. Books that I'd like to turn into film. One I just read, actually, called Party Time.
Yeah.
Saving, Raving Arizona.
Yeah.
It's about like someone who goes to American rave scene and stuff. And it doesn't go well for him because his next two books are Hard Time and Prison Time.
Ooh.
It's by Sean Atwell, yeah. So, and Jill wants Satsuma Complex by Bob Mortimer.
Okay.
Made into a film.
Right, okay.
Not sure if that's possible.
Probably not, mate.
No,
my other honourables I've got is the Thomas Harris selection of Silence of the Lambs, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I mean, what a genius stroke that was.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, that was that.
Books are great.
Huh?
Not as good as films, but they're great.
Are they? I've read that one. It was all right. So see if I get onto another one. Yeah. Thank you very much, Luke. And so please send some questions in, everybody. Moving on.
Yes, mate.
We saw a film.
We did, mate. We saw a film. It's currently 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb. It's a 15, 1 hour, 53 minutes build as a comedy with a synopsis of when three childhood best friends pull a prank that goes wrong, they invent the imaginary Ricky Stenicki to get them out of trouble. 20 years later, they still use a non-existent Ricky as a handy alibi for their immature behaviour. It's an Amazon film. No numbers, and I can't find any release, as I assume they realised it wouldn't get that many award nominations.
Directed by Peter Farrelly, starring Zac Efron, Jermaine Fowler, Andrew Santino, Lex Scott-Davis, Anya Savage, Jeff Ross, William H. Macy, and John Cena.
And this was 2024's Ricky Stenicki.
Clip.
Stenicki, what up, man? Are you serious? Have someone call me when you get out of surgery, all right?
You should drive out there. Ricky's been there for you guys your whole lives.
The devil's in the details, my friend.
It worked!
Atlantic City, here we come.
What we got?
Ricky's cancer's back.
Why does it have to be cancer?
Won't everybody get worried?
Yeah.
And that's gonna take us right into the World Series.
To Ricky Stenicki.
The best friend we never had.
That was loud, wasn't it?
Sorry.
That's all right. No matter. Fucking Ricky Stenicki. I don't really know what to say. $49.7 million budget.
Was it?
Yeah.
Seems like
a lot.
That.
I think
that
they've seems watermelon
like an awful
because it's
lot.
Amazon. I think someone's taken a bit of.
You reckon?
A bit of watermelon. Well, then, Mark, what did you think of 2024's Ricky Stenicki?
I remember going back a year and a half ago, 2 years, mate, me saying for the week was about half hour too long, this one. And I'd say this one was about half hour too long. It was started off well. I had a lot of fun to start with it. And then I found like it dragged its arse a bit. And then I still think overall I enjoyed it. I do, for what it is. But at the same time...
Don't be embarrassed, mate. You seem like you're embarrassed that you enjoyed Ricky's to Nicky.
No, there was enough in there that I enjoyed it, but I thought, this joke's done now about halfway through. And when I looked and I thought, if I had half hour left, I think, oh, that's all right. But I looked and I still had an hour left and I thought, kind of, it's done.
I think there's a little bit of a feel-good message behind it, though, isn't there? You know, it's like...
It's negative, isn't it?
Huh?
It's a negative, isn't it?
I've got to be honest. I didn't mind it. Yeah. I didn't mind it. So, straight away, it's a fun idea for a film.
Great idea.
And, isn't it?
It's a great idea.
Like, the idea of it.
Absolutely.
Imagine...
genius idea.
All the sort of things that you think about, and you're like, you know, why didn't I think of something like that? If you'd have actually thought about that when you was a kid and run that through that long, you'd have been a fucking genius.
I mean, trying to tell Cass that Johnny Manolli weren't real, it was a bit awkward. Got me in a lot of trouble.
I used to have two people that I talked to, I think, when I was a bit younger. Jimmy Deaney. So Jimmy Deaney and Davey Beanbag were the two.
Okay.
So Jimmy Deaney I still talk about now. with Jill, we know Jimmy, but Davey Beanbag's one that I've kept quiet, but yeah, I did too. They are my Ricky's to Nicky's, basically.
I think I had an old man called Keith.
Was it?
Who's talked to on the bottom of the stairs, and right. I thought the house was haunted.
Right.
Not okay. The horse was haunted.
I just thought it was a great idea for a film. Well thought out.
Absolutely brilliant.
You know, and it's one of those that I think is harmless. I thought that John Cena's performance was probably the best that I've seen. If someone was to say to me that there's a bloke called Rock Hard Rob, right, and they'd give a lineup of people and John Cena was in it, I think I'd probably pick him out of it. You know what I mean? He seemed to, for me, he just aced that character.
I mean, two minds about him, mate.
Right. I'm not saying he's a good actor. Saying, like, he just seems to have, there was a superhero character he played, DC one recently.
Yeah, there was Death Buckethead or something, wasn't it?
But it gave me the, I can't think of the name anyway, but that'll do, Death Buckethead. And it gave me the same sort of vibe as that. And I don't know, this sort of like comedy performance, but played in a serious manner, I think he's just about where he, because he's not really a great actor at comedy or serious, but if he's playing in a comedy, a fairly serious actor, I think that's about where he needs to be.
Yeah, I'm just in the middle. I can't work out whether he's surprisingly game and a laugh or desperate. Because I haven't seen someone commit to a role. I mean, he committed to this more than I've seen a lot of Hollywood A-listers commit to these huge Hollywood releases.
Yeah.
And I know, obviously, it weren't cheap by the sound of it.
Though someone's had it away, haven't they?
To go to that and say, we're going to put you in a Britney Spears uniform.
I mean, I don't even mention that because I've got that later on where that's the one thing that I don't want to fucking ever see again.
It's just, can you imagine going up to someone like that and going, right, this is what we want you to do next. He's going to costume and he sees it. And for him to stand there and go, yeah, all right.
I think he's game. Because he's a wrestler. He's been acting the whole of his career as a wrestler.
Oh, granted,
I mean? And he has done comedic parts as a wrestler, I think. And I do think he's going for it. I think you have to be as a wrestler.
Did a fucking good job. Yeah, I can't rip him apart.
Silly fucking characters and all that they give you to do and stuff.
But he was quite a macho character, wasn't he? He was a man's man. He's a rock. Now, I can't imagine The Rock doing this. He might do. I don't know. But to actually... Like, I'm John Cena, I'm a man's man. I kind of imagine him going down the Steve Austin route. And to actually come out and jump into this, I was like...
But, there's nothing bad about this character. You know, this character's a bit of a loser, but with a redemption.
Yeah.
So there's nothing like, you know, we're not asking him to play someone that he's playing and he's going to be hated or he's just going to make a complete fool of himself. I know there were some bits... You know, the stage show, the Rock Hard Rob.
It's a lot to ask for someone that.
But the Rock Hard Robert, you know, it was horrendous. It made me sick. It made me feel sick, some of the things. You know, it was like, but I'd go. You know, if someone said to me, John Cena's doing Rock Hard Rob in Vegas, I'd probably book a ticket and go.
The masturbation show was surprisingly funny.
it was rank, but I'd go. It's the sort of thing I'd go and see.
It was done well. But I can imagine it being an absolute crack on set. And to actually embrace it and to give it every... I mean, I've got some mad fucking facts about this, if you want some mad facts about it. Yeah, it's mental, mate. So this was originally sorted in 2010,
right,
this film. Now, it was originally supposed to be James Franco.
Right.
So...
as who? Rock Hard Rob?
Yeah.
Right.
So then he dropped out, right, to be replaced with Joaquin Phoenix. Right. Now, he dropped out.
Right.
And he went to Jim Carrey.
Right.
Now, Jim Carrey dropped out to be replaced by Nick Cage. Right.
I'd watch that.
So
obviously.
Nick Cage, right. But the financiers wanted Nick Cage, it to be a Nick Cage film with a bit of action in it. And they went, no, we're not doing that. So it got dropped again.
Right.
Amazon and Zac Efron picked it up and went, John Cena.
Right.
I wouldn't have picked him. I wouldn't have picked any. I don't know who. If you would have written that down on a bit of paper.
But there you go. Is that not because he's known in the business as being someone who could pull that off? You know, clearly, if they just went, if you're saying he just went, oh yeah, we do it and we want John Cena.
I mean, I'm probably coming across right. I've got no negatives about him. No. I thought he did a fucking great job. Yeah. I would never have ever picked him.
No.
I'd never have thought he would have committed. So I wouldn't have thought he'd have even done this, if I'm honest.
One of my highlights was the first encounter with him when he was after the, when he just ordered the drinks and the calamari. And there, wasn't he? I thought that was great. Yeah. I thought that was good. It was a great start. And then when they met him again, when he got off the plane, when he pissed himself.
It's not what you think
it is. He just said, can you smell sea?
It's just piss.
Yeah. I mean, that was good. I did enjoy it. The thing that I liked about the film was there was a lot of sub-stories, but they were all on the periphery. So it meant that I didn't have to give a shit about any of them, but they were still part of the story. And
they,
it still
they was
went
all
along.
Good. They was all good enough.
I
could have done without some, I think.
Yeah, I mean...
But they did their little turns and their little set pieces, like the bride's mum or the mum's mum when she was trying to catch him out.
Yeah.
I thought her character was written brilliantly because when he shut her up and was like, and the way he actually committed and he was like, because he comes across as a bit of a two-bit actor.
Yeah.
And I'm a professional actor, his business cards, can't believe someone's rung him up. And his full commitment to it.
Yeah, it was great.
Way they're going, like he had studied that Bible and he was getting everything in and he was fully committed to it, just made me love his character.
And it also gave us the turnaround. It also made the Zac Efron gang go from being fairly liked and thingy to actually being the bad guys for a while.
Yeah.
And I did like that little story arc because, you know, we was expected that John Cena's character, or Ricky Stenicki, obviously, that he would be like the one that was causing all the mischief. And it turned out that he was the nice one all the way through it, and it sort of gave that little character swing, which I quite liked. The things like the reporter and Keith and the hair girl and the rabbi and that, all little sub-stories that came in. But if you didn't really want to invest in any of them, you didn't need to.
No.
It didn't really matter at the end.
No, it was in there. I mean, for me, it followed that formula for me. It was very formulaic in its actual delivery, but I think the original storyline within it covered a lot of that up.
Yeah.
And I thought it almost took me back to, do you know, like the 2000s when ridiculous films like this became cult classics, like we had Harold and Kumar, Road Trip.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking whether this film then would have been, I don't know, I wouldn't say I found it shocking, but I think now humour's been diluted to a point where everyone's afraid of doing certain jokes in case they upset anyone.
Yeah.
And they're not quite like, you go back to like having Tom Green and that 20 years ago and everyone was like, fucking hell, is he getting away with that?
Yeah.
And you put him now, you'd think he would get cancelled within
100%,
minutes.
Yeah.
So to see something like this go with the masturbation jokes, with all the other bits he was doing, and actually, you know what? Yeah, it was reasonably shocking for what you watch now.
Mm.
But it's good that they had the guts to follow through with them all.
Yeah, I'm glad that they did, you know.
Because you could have made this quite diluted and tame.
Yeah.
And they didn't hold back.
No, he's good. I mean, the character-wise, Zac Efron isn't a bad actor, you know what I mean? I mean, I know that most of the guys and all that are like, oh, yeah, girls only watch it because... But he's all right, you know. He's not
he's
bad.
He's like Ryan Reynolds. He's got his niche.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, yeah. The gingerish person that I've ever seen on stage. It's like they all of his scenes had been painted extra ginger, isn't it? I mean, that was a ginger fella.
He was funny though.
Huh? Did you? I mean, I didn't like it.
Apparently it's hilarious on the TikTok.
Right. The character itself would be the one that I would least want to hang around with out of the group, if that makes sense. So
he cracked me up most because he's the one who toes the line when he's with his family and he's all the... reminds me a bit of Phil out of The Hangover, where he's like fully committed when he's in normal life, but actually when I'm out of life, fuck everything.
Yeah.
And he was rude to Rod when he to start with.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. And this is why, you know, after spending a bit of time with Rod, or Ricky Stanicky, as he's now known... you know, I felt a bit sorry for him and this fell up. But I'm not saying it was a bad performance. I think as a threesome, they each had their part to play. I just didn't particularly like the character, which is, I suppose, a good performance if it made me not like him.
Yeah, no, I liked all the three. I think they did well to keep all the three main characters very different personalities.
Mm.
And we got that right from the start with the kids. And then the way it went through and how they all ended up in different paths through life, but they all stuck together. And actually, I thought all those characters were written really well. And you could see why they stayed together, but why they were slightly different in their personalities.
And one of my favourite actors of all time was in it, William H. Macy.
Yeah.
I really like him.
The air dicking got a bit tiresome for me. I loved the cup in the balls.
It wasn't that long though. It was only a little bit in it. It was quite a bit of a left field sort of story arc to go, which did give a bit of character. I like the way that Ricky Stanicky basically just had the balls to tell anyone anything.
That was my favourite bit when he sort of fronted him up to start with, and like everyone else is licking arse.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're just basically a scumbag.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I liked about the character, you know, and everyone, we all need sometimes people to do that. I like to think that I do that enough to people and give them the blunt truth.
I get the glare from the missus sometimes when someone says something and I take a breath in and she looks at me and just say, don't. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I've got to say something.
You have to sometimes, don't you? You have to. But, I was worried about having someone that I do enjoy watching in films. I think he's a great actor. And I was a bit worried about having him in there. But I thought he played that part really well. I like the way that he played it.
Yeah, I think the whole work added into the workplace bit was very good, sort of mixing that work and pleasure bit. I mean, I can't remember what they called the circumcision party.
I can't remember what it's called,
they're talking about that and it's like, yeah, that's totally my bag, we should do it again soon, and all of it's like that, and he does it with the cigar thing.
Yeah, the thing with the work, obviously they brought it in to bring Ricky back because that was quite a good turning point where, you know, he'd done his thing, they all thought he was great and they just paid him and got rid of him, and then all of a sudden he's back, you know, and you think it's going to start going, you think that Ricky Stanicky's going to start fucking their stuff up, but you know, it's the other way around, really, isn't it? You know, I mean, they get jealous of him and that, and I think that was a good, I don't know, a red herring as to where the story was going to go.
I mean, like you say, I think the moral bit is there where you're like, don't judge people, but everyone's had a different story. I think it got a little bit too saccharine towards the end when we had the little party thing and the special video and all that, and I was a bit like, ugh. But it was all right. It was an all right ending. I did think to myself with 20-odd minutes to go, how the fuck are they going to end this?
Yeah.
It just felt a little bit too prolonged at points where I was thinking, like we stopped and made dinner and I was like, I kind of want this to end now.
Right.
But it weren't necessarily that I weren't enjoying it. I just felt it had started to outstay its welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, who don't love a bit of toilet humour?
Oh yeah,
which is great, but I did like the little twist at the end with the heavies. I thought that was quite
because he sort of dived
and you thought, oh, he's gonna get shot and he's gonna take a bullet for him. This is why you went, how's that working out for you?
It was funny, isn't it? But I suppose that jokes was from the start, really, wasn't it? You know what I mean? Went right through right to the start.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as you expected, so it was just one of those where. It was happening, as I said, if you didn't get too invested in it, didn't really matter, gave you a laugh at the end.
Yeah.
The couple of scenes really that I thought were funny, the one where he wet himself. I did enjoy the bowling ball one where it sucked her hair in and then both the balls plopped down onto her head. I enjoyed that, you know.
So, there was a bit of a confusing one at that point to me because I thought his character was going to turn.
Right.
Because he sort of cousin it. He was talking about pair. And then he sort of just looks at me, no one fuck, or something along the lines of no one likes you or something like that. And
he's just being blunt, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I was just like,
he just said that, well, yeah, well, no, he just didn't like the air.
Yeah.
Did he? He didn't see the point in it. That was the thing. But, you know, like, he was just being blunt like he always was. But, yeah, you're right. It seemed a bit off at the time.
It just seemed a bit of a misstep, but then it turned around and she got her hair sucked in.
That was
and good. I was like, yeah.
That was funny. Yeah. If it had scalped her, might have been a bit better. But, you know. And then I got the Britney Spears thing was the stuff of nightmares. But I guess I just needed a throwaway film, you know. We didn't choose that we were going to do this till quite late.
No.
So I've watched it twice, and I enjoyed it both times. I'm not ashamed to say. Someone said to me at work, should I watch it? I went, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not going to break any records, but...
I was talking to Miles earlier, and he was like, what do you think of the new Rodale? So I'm like, look, it's films like this and that not going to be necessarily released at the cinema. And if this is a sort of thing, you're getting... It's free, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
I ain't had to pay. I ain't had to go anywhere. I've sat down, I've watched a new film... I've laughed and I've enjoyed it. And that gives you a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't help but feel a little bit of love, more love towards it, that it was just so, all a bit under the guise of a standard comedy formulaic film. Such an original, great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. What score you got?
Now, for me, mate, I probably won't watch it again.
Right.
No regrets about watching it, but I've got 62.
Have you? Yeah. I've got 66. Okay. I can't give it much more, you know. Yeah. I mean, but it's. I mean, 66.6 is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know
I mean? Think if pretty this good. Was an hour and a half, I think it would have topped up a bit more, but I just felt, like I say, just dragged a little bit.
There you go. Yeah. Good, good. I haven't got anything down on me also. Watch anything else?
I mean, no, I've just sat in hospitals.
Got your phone, you could have watched something, could have watched Ricky Stenicki again on your phone.
No, because they want to talk to me.
Oh, no, just take headphones and
sit there. And then she starts talking to other people.
No, that's
and exactly. Everyone's going, oh, yeah, we've been here for this long as well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Fucking stop all that shit.
Yeah.
So, okay, then, mate, right, should we move on?
Yeah,
this is the next section. This is the section that we have to call
homework.
There we go. So this is the section where we give each other films that we love or we just want to make Mark sit through. And it was me to you this week. I gave you a 2024 film directed by Robert Morgan, starring Eileen Franciosi, running time of 93 minutes, 5.6 on IMDb, 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, a box office of $804,000. I don't have a budget. We have a synopsis of a stop-motion animator struggles to control her demons after the loss of her overbearing mother. I gave you 2024's Stop Motion.
Do you reckon I like this or not?
I think it was more for you than it was for me, but it's difficult. I don't know.
I really liked it.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't love it, but I really liked it. I really liked it. For me, it sat in the shadows of Sensor.
Yeah.
Quite a similar-esque thing, which I think is... Sensor's much more accomplished film in the descent into madness for me.
What is it you like, just quickly? What is it you like about these films that are like, you know, they got this element of they can do anything because it's, you know, it's about mental health and stuff like that. So they can get away with anything, like can get away with dream sequences and stuff. What is it that makes you like that sort of thing? Whereas I'm quite literal.
Yeah.
And I like to know, you know, I don't, as I said before when we watched that film last week, I was thinking about how long did he fall asleep on the bus for to have that vision and stuff like that, you know. I don't know.
I think it gives a genuine idea of either people's psychosis or what actually happens in the mind when people are having these mental episodes. Because I think it's easy for people to sit and judge when they've never been through it.
Right.
And I think actually this is probably not that mad in these people's heads. And like to sit there and think, oh, that person over there is mental. They're struggling. They're having a breakdown. This is probably why they're so chaotic and why they're so manic and why they're having this manic episode.
I was at home with Jill in the kitchen the other day because she's going to a half marathon. She's going away for a couple of nights because she's staying in a hotel while she does it. I started to talk to myself a bit and do some silly song and that. And I turned around to her and said, and there's a snippet into what it's going to be like in this house while you're away. And she went, I have absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got their quirks, everyone's got their things. And you, like we said, with Ricky Stanicky and his background and his struggles and things like that, it's anything going on to the, can create these things. And it's, I think it's human life with all these people and all this shit going on. We see mental health declining and the triggers, whether they're big triggers, small triggers. And I think stuff like this isn't as far-fetched as people think in people's head. We see the things on the TV where someone's gone nuts and murdered three people. The brain is an amazing thing, and this imagination's got to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's necessarily as far-fetched in people's heads than we think. Obviously, shit like this don't happen in real life,
mm-hmm.
like these little things come into life, but that might happen in someone's head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's as crazy as people make out, and it gives a good little glimpse into these sort of illnesses. I wish the film mate had given as much as Aisling Franciosi. She was fucking great. I thought she was brilliant. Could have done without the ghost kid, I'll be honest with you. Not really sure what she offered, and I found her a bit clunky with the character involved. Kid was all right. Whatever, didn't do a lot, but
I wasn't in the list of.
I just don't think she fitted in very well. It was a bit like devil on the shoulder and hearing voices, I suppose. But I felt a better character choice would have worked in its favour, whether that be her voice, whether she was going through psychosis and it was her in a monologue or something. A better way of putting that across than a little ghost kid. I think that's lazy. Oh. Get a little ghost kid, that'll do.
Is that like a dream sequence, you remember? Remember when we watched Ghost Stories?
Yeah.
And that had that dream sequence at the end and it completely ruined it for us.
Yeah, it's just, I thought there was some brutal dialogue from Ella. I thought she was great when she got into a swing and a filter had gone and she just destroyed her boyfriend by saying, you're not a musician. And I was like, oh, that felt so awkward.
You've heard that before, haven't you?
Yeah, many, many times, mate. Not really a lot of side characters, but I thought they was all solid enough.
Yeah, there weren't many people in it, was
there? No. Actually, weirdly fascinating to watch how stop motion was done without, watching a Wallace and Gromit documentary.
I mean, our mother doing it was fucking horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was very, so oppressive,
yeah.
that scene. You can tell why she was fucked up, but you know, I'd have just smashed it and fucked off, smashed it on the head. I wouldn't have done it.
I mean, just watch it. I'd love to have the time, the equipment, the patience, the imagination, and any kind of talent to give it a go.
I guarantee that mine would be sweeping motions. There would be a lot of missed stuff there. He'd be moving a couple of inches at a time after the first hour of doing it. It'd just be bounding everywhere. But, you know, you're the sort of twat that would do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a clever medium, isn't it? It really is. When it's done well. And it was quite nice to see it integrated within. Normally, if you get stop motion, you get a stop motion film. But to actually have it integrated within a film. Wasn't as much of a fan when the crossover came. Like she's laying on the bed and the little goofy little doll thing's walking in. Could have given or taken that. But I liked having the frames and the scenes in each different medium. I thought that was good. Mum was a bit of a prick, and I can only assume the depth of her madness was down to a lot of that oppression.
Yeah.
And that sort of complete submergence. And it's weird because it's like that she had a lot of trauma, and it's weird to think that actually it didn't come from anything other than just oppression.
Mm.
I suppose she wanted her independence and her decision-making capabilities given to her. We don't know what happened before, like with parent dad or anything like that, but
I think that the situation of the fact that she was, you know, it's the thing that she was doing, the stop motion, where it was all these little movements and having to do that. If you've got someone oppressing you, I suppose it's the same. If you're playing football your dad or whatever is having a go, you've still got that outside and other people. But the fact that she was like literally looking at like a tiny little movement on a thing and keep having to do that over and over again. Like, the situation would just be way too
much.
Like I say, I'd be smashing shit up. 100%.
I can imagine this film having a lot of haters. I don't think people necessarily like the style. I think this will blow a few people's minds sitting watching it again. Cass was not interested. She was just like, what the fuck are you watching? And I'm like, shush, it's good.
But again, is it not the fact that it is slow? You know, even the scene when she's just doing something is just a tiny little part of an inch at a time.
I love it so much. It's almost like St. Maud and Censor and this one.
Yeah.
It's just so good. And I think stuff like that's a massive positive for me, that it is so quirky.
Right.
It is so quirky.
Dull, you mean?
No, I really didn't.
It's like growing onions and that.
I could have laid
like growing onions or fucking buying trees or building aviaries. It's very dull and you like it.
Yeah, I loved it. I just think beneath that quirky exterior and the really great performance, I don't think there was enough to elevate it like there was in Censor. And I think it really needed pushing up. Decent bit of body horror in there.
I mean, if
especially towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the one thing for me. So I do like collecting. I told you about my Plague Doctor thing that I bought, didn't I?
Right.
Oh, we went somewhere. I can't remember where we went. I think it was like a Christmas thing, and Jill wanted to buy some Christmas decorations. You know, like the little Santas and stuff, and snowmen and that you put on the side. And I ended up buying a Plague Doctor because they looked cool
to go with your Krampus.
Well, exactly, you know. Yeah. I like all things like that, and so if they made these doll things, these meat dolls, I'd have one. No worries.
You want a meat doll?
Fucking worry. I thought those things looked, I'm glad they didn't just have good looking stuff, you know, like a Goldilocks looking kid or something. It was fucking horrible.
Wax.
And then adding all the meat and shit in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's right up my alley. I'd certainly have them if they'd done them as toys. If it kicked off like Star Wars.
I'll keep an eye on Etsy, mate. Someone might do
fucking
one.
Fucking right.
Clever aspect of a film like this, and it's one that I tend to hark on about a lot, and I bore myself with it, but I don't think you need to like any of the characters in this.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel sorry for her particularly. I didn't really care.
Is that good or bad about a film of mental health? Someone's mental health disappearing in front of you, and, you know, as you said before, these people's psyches, should you not feel an element of empathy for people who go through it?
It felt quite voyeuristic.
Yeah.
It was a very voyeuristic film where they weren't necessarily worrying about the character, that we never really got to know her to actually like her that much or to know what she was like before. We had a couple of little snippets where she was semi-happy and she was being comforted by the boyfriend and that. And the descent did come quite quick.
Do you think that that's something that the filmmaker set out to do?
Yeah.
So it's like a positive, you know, let's just show this but not get too invested. Or do you think it's something that the filmmaker's missed out on and therefore should be a negative?
I don't think, because there wasn't any real redemption or saving her, I think it was deliberate not to, because there was no end to it. There was no saving her. There was no happy ending where we got her back to where she was and everything come together nice. I think it was a sort of voyeuristic view on self-destruction.
Yeah, just like a broad painting of mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. And I mean, you're saying it's, I weren't bored at all. Good clean runtime. I liked it. I thought it was great.
It's like reading, though, isn't it? You know, it's like just sitting there reading a page out of a book.
Yeah.
You know, I just sitting there thinking about doing other stuff.
Right.
You know.
Oh, no, I was watching it. I was thinking, cool, shower with bricks. I wonder if they put some stuff on that brick to protect it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not entirely sure what the last few frames were trying to say, but it was an ending, I suppose. I got to it and I thought, that's a bit weird. I haven't done too much research into what it was trying to say, but I liked the end up until we got that weird crossover with Ghost Girl.
Yeah.
I think it, for me, it shows a bit of promise to horror. It just needed cleaning up a little bit. And like I say, Censor, this was far more superior in my head, but they both had that similar feel, that similar lighting, we've gone into that darkness, and I liked it. I liked it. I got 66.
Have you?
Yeah.
Same score as I've got for Wiki Snicky.
Yeah.
So he must be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't give out 66s.
No.
I don't fucking like stuff. Good. Good. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed
it.
Yeah,
I'll say not without his issues, but solid.
Cool. Have you got one for me?
If we ever come back, mate, if we ever come back, I've got you a film. It's currently 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb. It's 15, 1 hour, 57 minutes, billed as a crime, drama, thriller. With a synopsis of two men who meet at a bus, strike up conversation that turns into friendship. For Henry Teague, worn down by a lifetime of physical labour and crime, this is a dream come true. Starring Joel Edgerton and Sean Harris, no budget, mate, but a gross of $149,441. 2022's The Stranger.
I like that Sean Harris.
Yeah, he's good, mate.
He's good, yeah. Good. Okay, excellent, excellent. So, mate, do you want to reiterate how people can get us on socials?
They can get us by Xaroonie, which is @movie_drone, or via email on moviedronepodcast@hotmail.com.
And obviously, it's probably going to be a bit quiet. I wouldn't imagine that you're going to do an awful lot while I'm away, you know. But so it might be a little bit quiet.
I'm in my tree.
But I'll try and get this one out on Sunday. Do what I can to get it out. If it's not, it's the next Sunday. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Because it
won't be around for a few weeks. But
we'd lost everyone by then anyway.
That happened a long time ago, mate. You know what I mean? That happened a long time ago. But yeah, thank you very much to everyone for listening.
Yeah, good luck on your marathon.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. And I shall. We shall see everyone in some way, shape, or form in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
All right. I hope everyone has a lovely time at work and that one I'm at. So brilliant. Do you want to say goodbye then, Mark?
Goodbye then, Mark.
See you later, everybody.
See you later.
Bye.
So a bit of a DIY freak, and I've been trying to do some stuff. So I had an idea. I thought I'm going to knock two rooms into one. Half eye.
Okay, yeah. It's probably what you would do as well. That's a twat.